Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Good Sunday morning to all my friends in North Mississippi and West Alabama. I'm Elder Joe Nettles, welcoming you to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. Thank you for tuning in 8 a.m. every Sunday morning here on WLZA 96.1 FM. We appreciate this station for kindly hosting us, and we appreciate you for tuning in. And we hope that this message today will be a great blessing to you. The effort in bringing these messages over the radio airwaves has been a great blessing to myself and to my friend and partner in this ministry, Elder David Wise. He's the pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi, and I pastor Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi. Both churches meet 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, and we would absolutely love to have you come. We would love to meet you, and we would love to be able to welcome you and show hospitality to you. Do you have children? Please bring them. No, we don't have nurseries. We do not have clubs and things for them to be distracted by. We have congregational, family-centered worship. We want your children with you, and we want them sitting in the pew with you, and we want you to experience church together. And so if you can, come and be with us any Sunday morning. We also meet at 6 p.m. every Wednesday evening at the La Quinta Inn Conference Room in Starkville, Mississippi. Please come and be with us there if you can. Visit the website for this program, gospel-of-grace.com. You'll find a lot of good content, links, and the previous messages from this broadcast archived there. Today we're going to continue, Lord being our helper, to deliver you messages revolving around the parable of the 10 virgins as found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. We've already had two installments on this parable before, and we hope to be able to bring it to a close today. So if you will, just stay tuned, and after this sweet hymn, we'll be right back.
Twilight is stealing over the sea. Shadows are falling dark on the lea. Born on the night wind, voices of yore come from the far-off shore. Far away beyond the starless skies, where the love light never, never dies, gleameth the mansion filled with delight, sweet happy home so bright. Voices of loved ones, songs of the past, still linger round me while life shall last. Lonely I wander, sadly I roam, seeking that far off shore. Far away beyond the starlit skies, where the love light never, never dies, gleameth a mansion filled with delight, sweet happy home so bright. Come in the twilight, come, come to me, bringing some message over the sea, cheering my pathway while here I roam, seeking that far off shore. Far away beyond the starlit skies, where the love light never, never dies, gleameth the mansion filled with delight, sweet happy home so bright.
Welcome back, and thank you for staying tuned. Appreciate that good hymn, and if you will, open up that good Bible before you, and let's go to Matthew chapter 25 again. We're going to read, for context sake, verses 1 through 13, the parable of the 10 virgins. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And here we see a parable, I believe, is representing the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bridegroom, and I believe his church, who are represented as the virgins. Now, someone will say, well, I think the church is only the five wise virgins, and that's a good question. Are all 10 of the virgins representative of the Lord's kingdom? Well, let's just believe what the parable says. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Very easily, the Lord could have said, Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 5 virgins who made all the right choices and who stayed committed in belief and things of that nature. But he did not. He conspicuously said, The kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins. And that in itself is important. In messages before, we tried to bring to your mind how that the oil under consideration here and the light that it could bring forward is representative of spiritual light and potential. And we also taught you how that only those with the Spirit of God within them have any spiritual light and have any spiritual potential. We also brought to you on the next installment in this series of messages how that all of these virgins were here, not because they had chosen the bridegroom, but because the bridegroom had chosen them. And we also talked about the how significant it is when the Bible speaks of the Lord choosing someone unto blessing. So, let's look at this just a little bit further. Now, 10 virgins, and they, who are they? Well, I think they represent the bride of Christ. And what's the significance of the bride of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, we know what the Bible teaches us about the bride of Christ in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 25, he says, Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. I've taught you in previous messages how I do not believe that word being spoken of there is the gospel or even just the Bible, but more specifically and more powerfully is the commandment from death unto life by the voice of God. In doing this, in giving the new birth and covering his elect with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are truly sanctified and cleansed and washed with the water, as it were, of the Spirit by the word. To what end? That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Let's ask us one quick question as we read this. So that he might present it to himself. Now, should we just look at the presenting to himself of his church as being significant here in this time world in which we live? Or will he also come and receive a people of every kindred, nation, tongue, and people? People of the Old Testament times, people of the New Testament times, people with mental handicaps who are not able to understand the gospel. Will there also be aborted babies who never had the ability to hear and understand the gospel? Maybe. If all of that is so, if he has the power to save all of those people by the blood of Christ and by the cleansing of his word, and that, remember, that term church means a people called out. That's exactly what he's going to do on the resurrection day. He's going to call all of his children. Well, actually, his voice is going to call all out of the graves, but those that are going to rise up to meet him in the air and forever be with the Lord are only his elect, his bride. They're going to be brought unto him, an ecclesia, a church, a called out people. Now see, that encompasses a great number of people. Now we look at the church today and we're thankful for the local body, the local church bodies. And there are so many out there, all carrying different names, many carrying different doctrines and practices. But you know what? I believe the Lord has a people among them. And I believe they'll live in heaven. Not because they held to a certain set or amount of belief. not because they held to any certain practices, but simply because it pleased the Lord to purchase them. And he said, this church is going to be holy and without blemish. He goes on to verse 28 and says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. See, a definite reference to the creation of Eve out of the rib from the side of Adam. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So we believe the 10 virgins being spoken of here is a collection of some of God's people. Is it necessarily referring to all of God's people throughout all times? No, I don't believe so. But I do believe it's speaking and referring to the Jews most immediately in the days of Jesus Christ, when the gospel call initially came out, when the Lord came, when the Lord preached his own gospel, when he was establishing his own church, when he was working miracles to show forth that he was the Son of God with great power. And how did the bride respond? I would like to think, my friends, and I'm sure you would too, that all of God's children would just do right all the time. That all of God's children would just be 24/7 enamored by the very thought of Christ and could never vary, could never waver, could never be filled with doubts and fears. And God forbid, I'd love to think that we would never rebel, we would never go astray, that we could never even be steeped in a dread state of blindness. But my friends, the Bible teaches that God's children, that can happen to them. Does that mean they're not of the bride? Does that mean that if they get blinded from the joys of the Lord because of a judgment the Lord puts upon them? And notice the darkness in our text in Matthew chapter 25. What happens when the door was shut? The lamps filled with oil were on the inside, and the virgins who were foolish were on the outside. What was the state of the foolish virgins on the outside? Well, obviously it was nighttime, and obviously there was no light for them. They were darkened. Go a little further to the parable of the talents, right on the heel of this parable. And the Lord gave a commandment that they should be cast into outer darkness, who did not use their talents in a just and a right way. You see, outer darkness, the shutting of the door gave darkness. And brothers and sisters, the Lord can blind his children from the joys that they could receive. See, we have a responsibility. When we hear the truth, the Spirit is within us. The Spirit testifies it's the truth. We believe it. It strikes a chord in us. Then we have a responsibility. The Lord has given us great things. Therefore, we have great responsibility. Now, will shirking our responsibilities reduce the number of those who will be in heaven purchased by the blood of the Lord? Absolutely not. You see, there's a great difference in us knowing the bride, us being able to recognize the bride, and the Lord being able to recognize the bride. I will willingly say that someone who's living in rebellion, they are not showing forth the beauty of the Lord's bride. But does that mean that the Lord doesn't know his children, doesn't know who his bride, and there's no way that person could be part of the bride? I would say, according to the word of God, that's not so. Now, let's look at some things. Let's look at the covenant faithfulness of the Lord unto his people. Let's look in the Old Testament. Now, Jerusalem, the Jews, Judah in the nation of old, in the Old Testament, they were certainly representative of the Lord's people. We see that expounded on in the New Testament, pointed to that he is not a Jew which is one outward with the circumcision of the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one with the circumcision of the heart. Multiple passages of Scripture likening the Lord's spiritually born again family to being the true Jews, and even the Jewish nation, the ultimate fulfillment of the promises to the Jewish nation in the Old Testament. Now you look in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 2, Son of man. Who's that? Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations and say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem. Now here he starts off very dark. They have abominations. And what does he tell He says, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, thy mother a Hittite. He said, you were fallen. You were an accursed people. You were bastardized, as it were, without true lineage. As for thy nativity, in the day thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither was washed in water to supple thee. Thou was not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to have compassion unto thee, but thou was cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person. This is a person that's in a dead, polluted state. But here the Lord passed by, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood. Now, how did the Lord, at what state was the bride when the Lord declared this work of salvation unto her, of living unto her? Notice it was when she was polluted in her own blood, filthy according to the law of God, unsanctified. Verse 6, and when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. You see, the Lord pronounced life unto his bride. And we're going to see where he raised her up, where he adorned her because of his love for her, how he provided the finest of food and wherewithal for her. But you see, my friends, there's also problems. She rebelled. And you can see through that chapter the great abominations that were brought about by this bride. And now looking in verse 59, it says this, for thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done. It means I'm going to chasten you, which hast despised the oath and breaking the covenant. He said, Jerusalem, Judea, you've not been true to the marriage vow. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. Then thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed when thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder, and thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant, and I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Here the Lord is true to his covenant blessings in spite of the adultery of that bride. We go over to the book of Psalm 89, and you're going to see great promises to the seed of David are the same people, these Jews that are under consideration. And notice the covenant faithfulness of the Lord to those whom he has covenanted with. He said, speaking of the seed of David, verse 28 of Psalms 89, my mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. But notice this. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, that sounds to me like some foolish virgins, does it not? If they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, oh, foolish virgins, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. He's saying, I will chasten them. I will judge them. Nevertheless, notice this faithfulness of the Lord. My loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. In Romans chapter 3, speaking of some unbelieving Jews there, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Roman church, in Romans chapter 3, asks this question, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? So here he's asking the question, what if some of these Jews didn't believe, his people, the Jews, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith, that means the faithfulness of God, without effect? That means if mankind, in other words, doesn't believe, does that tie God's hands and prevent him from keeping his own covenant blessings and purpose? The answer of the Apostle Paul to that verse 4 says, God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. In Romans chapter 11, we find writing to this same church, the same inspired writer. In Romans chapter 11, verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. You know, well, that's first quoted in the Old Testament. It says, Jacob shall turn away from ungodliness. But here it's been changed that there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. There's a difference there. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. What happens for somebody to be able to live in heaven? Their sins are taken away. So here I believe this is talking about God's children. But what does it also go on to say about them as concerning the gospel? Oh, he's talking about some foolish virgins here. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That means he doesn't make any mistakes and he doesn't take it back. He does not break his covenant. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18 speaks of some whose faith had been overturned. But yet he goes on to say, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. You see the Lord's faithfulness. He'll be faithful even if we fall away, even if we are overturned, even if we are destroyed in our confidence. The Lord is unfazed by that. His covenant blessings will continue to stand. 2 Timothy 2:13. For if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. You see, my friends, these virgins were here for a reason, because they were betrothed. Now, somebody will say, yeah, but the five wise virgins were able to go in and enjoy the closeness of the marriage, and the five foolish ones were left out. They were thrown away. Would the Lord throw away his covenant people? In Romans chapter 11, it said, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. But see, my friends, these virgins, though five of them were foolish, they were still betrothed to the bridegroom. And what did it mean to be betrothed? That means engaged to be married. Well, to us, it doesn't mean very much, but to the Jews, it meant a lot. To the Jews, they fully understood, according to the law, that to be betrothed to a man was just as legally binding as being fully married. You see, the marriage ceremony, the marriage process, it was just that. It was a process. But if you were betrothed, it still was legally binding. We go to Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 23 and 24. It says, if a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto a husband. So they haven't fully gone through all of the marriage process yet, but they are engaged to be married. And a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife. You see there, under the law, she was considered his wife, his bride, even though they were just betrothed. In Genesis chapter 29, verse 21, Jacob goes to his uncle Laban and said unto Laban, give me my wife. Now, wait a minute, Jacob, you have worked 7 years for this girl, but y'all aren't married yet. But yet Jacob said, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, why in the world is it that Joseph was there agonizing over whether or not to write a bill of divorcement to put away Mary? Now, they weren't married yet. They were betrothed, though. They were engaged. And to the Jews, and remember, it was the Jews unto whom this parable was focused on and first delivered unto, they would not have been mystified by the significance of one that was betrothed unto the bridegroom. You see, Joseph was going to have to write a bill of divorcement, according to the law, just like a man would have to do for his wife if he was to put away Mary. Thank God he did not. He didn't have to, because that which was in her was conceived of the Holy Ghost. But yet you see, to be betrothed was as covenant binding essentially as marriage unto the Jews. And they understood this. And you see, brothers and sisters, the Lord's going to be faithful to his wife. Now, I want to behave myself in such a way that I, when I go to God's word and I trust and I believe in him, that I can feel confident that I'm one of those wise virgins. Because, brothers and sisters, the alternative is dreadful. Am I teaching you this perspective on this parable to try to embolden you, to strengthen you to be unfaithful, to be lax, to be not diligent? in your service and your anticipation of the Lord Savior Christ? No, I'm not. I'm teaching you these things to uphold and to hold forth the shining, beautiful, eternal faithfulness of Almighty God. I'm doing this to brag on Him. Because, my friends, we are so fallible and we are so foolish, even the best of us, that we have nothing to brag about. All we can do is brag on the faithfulness of our bridegroom. My friends, I like to be able to see my deportment, my actions, my dedication, my faith, and to feel that I'm one of His bride. My friends, but whether we are able to feel confident that one is part of His bride or not, when it all comes down to it, doesn't amount to a hill of beans much. When you're speaking of eternal matters, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Oh, I believe those five foolish virgins represent some who are in heaven right now. And as they were wafted up to glory after their death, oh, my friends, what they missed while they lived down here. But because of the blood of Jesus, they'll not miss one joy in the portals of glory. Isn't that a good God? I thank You for Your good order and intention as I have given this message to you today. And may the Lord specially bless you all.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall His grace begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus.